Hello, everyone, and welcome to Blind Bargains Cast 119. I'm your getting over sickness host, Joe Steinkamp.
Oh, well, I'm sorry, man. Take some NyQuil.
The 15-year-old brought home the first sickness of the school year a little later than usual. Usually it's like in the first month, September, the first 3 weeks. This year he's a late bloomer and bringing it to us in the middle of October.
Wait, the first month of September?
Blaming it on someone else.
This is the first month of September. What about the second one? That might work out.
Okay. So you can already tell where this is going to go. JJ is with us. He is reporting to us from the Captain's Ready Room of the Starship Enterprise, because that's the kind of echo it sounds like there.
I wouldn't know. I've never watched it. No, it's middle of nowhere, New Jersey, where, you know, they...
Isn't that all of New Jersey? Oh, great. Now I'm going to get hype now.
See, I was going to say something similar, but, you know, people here, everyone loves their own state, which is always cool. You talk like, oh, yeah, people just don't understand how cool it is. So, you know, I'm try to get out and do some.
In the same way I can blame visiting. Canada for Bryan Adams, I can blame New Jersey for Bon Jovi. What can I say? It's just one of those things. I was in radio in the late 80s. I heard it way too much. I still have flashbacks. It's awful.
Might want to go out and see a movie, though, right? That could be something.
I would take your mind off of things, especially if you needed some time to kill, and you could certainly do so. We bring Jay, our film critic, back to talk about the summer that was. This time around, we're going to talk about his top five films that he liked, and we'll compare them to what he had said earlier in the year. We also have some of the box office figures to make or break his arguments. And then we'll get to his bottom five as well. Probably not this episode, but next episode or the episode after, we'll get into the bottom five that he had and his thoughts about what's going to come up this fall.
Depending on how things align and all that, which is really cool. Yeah, it's always lots of fun to talk about. We do enough tech around here, so it's kind of cool to do some other things here and there. We've gotten some suggestions in, talking to people asking about doing the grocery delivery services, which we play with a lot. So, yeah, one of those weeks we'll probably delve into them.
A suggestion actually makes it into Sound Off, and then I have something interesting in Last Word that I think is somewhat movie-related. So, a lot of crazy stuff.
I have food from Liam. So, if you haven't been following his Twitter lately, this is some pretty crazy stuff. So,
when he's been posting stuff about delis.
Yeah, exactly. It's epic. It's epic. If you haven't been seeing this, it's epic. So lots coming up in episode 119, moving us into the news. And unfortunately, starting out with a very sad story out of California with the crazy wildfires, which are still going on. Over 40 people have been killed and thousands of structures have been destroyed. Some major hotels, lots of homes, lots of possessions. And unfortunately, that now includes at least a portion, as of the time of this recording, of the Lighthouse's Enchanted Hills Camp up in the in Napa area of California. So they have several hundred acres of the camp. It's a beautiful place. I went there to visit a year ago. And they have upper camp and lower camp. And a lot of the buildings on lower camp, which is if you were a blind kid in California or anywhere else and you went there for the summer, you would stay down in lower camp in the cabins. That's how it is, the summer camps. So you have like cabins for 12 people and they had 10 of them. They're gone along with some of the permanent staff residences. So there were five staff that were staying there currently, or five of the staff that were staying there currently. Unfortunately, that building has been destroyed too. And, if you're trying to get away from that, and Joe, if you're trying to get out from hurricanes and things like that, you don't have much time in a lot of cases to get your stuff out. It's not like you're moving houses. You take your important stuff and then pray for the best. And,
especially with fire, that can happen so rapidly and in such a dry area as parts of California are. And it seems from what I've been reading is that it was started by a power cable, an actual, power line.
Yeah, rain over there. I mean, it's been crazy and one of the worst in history. Now, everybody got out safe. They evacuated well ahead. And of course, the planning and all that. So people are fine. Lives are fine. But they are definitely, they're already taking the donations. They're going to rebuild. There's no way they're not going to, And the cabins were built in the 50s, so perhaps, and Brian Bastion. It was Bastion,
probably a possible good time. Maybe that means that we could have foot lockers with USB charging cables in them for our iPhones.
It's a summer cab, Joe.
I'm looking for, you know, lightning inside the dark cloud.
Right, lightning cable. Right, exactly. Much of upper camp is okay. The dining hall and some of the lakeside cabins and things like that. At least as of now, of course, the fires are still active in a lot of areas, so you're just not going to know for a while, but we've
posted more information. It's a weird time to live on a coast, no matter which coast it is. Left, east, it's Gulf.
It's crazy. You know, it really is crazy. And the stuff just happens at a moment's notice. The flooding and fires and so many other things, and a lot of this has happened so far, so much at once. So definitely keeping those people in our thoughts and anybody that's associated. And we have information on our website if you want to learn more, if you want to donate to the cause to help Enchanted Hills and San Francisco Lighthouse rebuild. So we definitely wish them the best for sure.
Something that we don't hope is also a disaster in itself for you is, of course, the Windows 10 Fall Creators Update. At the time of recording, it's just now being pushed out to many people who are adopting it early. I have already played with it and used it, and I have talked about it on Main Menu, the archives of the one I did with Jeff Bishop and some of the narrator team over at Microsoft is now available. Thanks again to Randy and Jason for having me on board to talk about, I think, my third or fourth Windows release now. This is kind of crazy. But it was a good time, and we talked mostly about Windows and some of the new features that are coming up. And I'm kind of blurred because I'm already using
seeing lots Redstone of visual, 4. Right? There's lots like these new photos type stuff.
But the scan mode changes that we've talked about in previous episodes are on board in this new update to Narrator, and as well
Narrator
as color
and magnifier at once, right?
Well, magnifier will now track and follow Narrator cursor, which sounds familiar to those of us who've been using those at the same time on other products. There's also some color gradient stuff that they've added, some color shaders and the like. So those who use visual color blind options can actually get in on this new one. The eye tracking gaze stuff that we talked about before, for those who are, you know, quadriplegic or have bad motor control, could actually use this and work really well with eye gazing technology that's now built into Windows. That's going to be really exciting. The one core voices, you know, those are very popular and refined in this version. It will be the next version that is called Redstone 4, where you're going to be able to shunt off your audio and throw it to a different sound card. It's not, I believe, in this version of the Fall Creators update, so that'll be the next one. But if you're a Windows insider, you're already sort of playing with it. And there's a lot of stuff that's coming. We even heard this week that there's going to be a redesigned Outlook, that they're going to redesign the desktop Outlook from the top on down to make it simpler or more customizable, kind of in the way that the Xbox update, which also came out this week, rolled around, so you can do more customization. So it seems to be that merging of accessibility into personalization. There's been this trend, I think we've loosely talked about it on the show, about how accessibility is going to just be referred to as personalization or customization because it's the user experience more than a defined set of tools
and or so check many boxes. Accessibility features benefit lots of people. I mean, you know, some of the niceties, you know, whether it's keyboard shortcuts or whether it's various ways just to navigate or to present information. I mean, accessibility a lot of times is created for blind people, but lots of other people end up using it. So, I mean, there's certainly lots that can be gained from that. One of the other new features that's now here in Windows, which I'm assuming is going to be at least in the Edge browser, and apparently in some apps too, and we'll see how it works, but the Microsoft artificial intelligence that you've maybe seen in Office and other places to identify images, at least in some form, adding automatic alt text and things like that, they're expanding that to the web and to apps. So that's another feature that's kind of been
already using Seeing AI, or you've used this feature in NVDA, which has gotten away from Tesseract and other things, are actually using some of the Windows OCR portions that came from this technology, which now comes to Narrator.
Exactly. Well, I think a lot of this is more the image description. Have you done that in Office 16? Has it where it's now, if you bring in an image, it will add alt text.
Like in PowerPoint.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, in a PowerPoint and in Word even too. When I bring in I mean, of course, it's very nondescript for me. Like, but I will bring in screenshots when I'm doing testing, and it will say an image. This is an image of a screenshot, or, you know, or sometimes yeah. this is a mobile phone. So, I mean, it adds that automatically to the text in Word now. So they're wild. Expanding.
You can actually teach Google Photos what your pet looks like, and it'll tell you whether you have a picture of your dog, or it'll find pictures of your cat and the like. They had talked about this at Google I/O. So it's showing up in the weirdest of places, but you're right. It's coming. It's getting better and better all the time. And of course, for self-driving cars, it has to.
More dictation stuff in there as well, looks like.
Yep. And that's good, because you know what really isn't working well in dictation? I seem to think that I can dictate better on my Apple Watch than on my my iPhone. So 11.03 is available. This seems right. We talk about Windows, and then the third Apple update rolls out. And if you were using the latest version of iOS, this fixes some minor bugs for people. The big mail issue that everybody's been very upset about probably won't get fixed until 11.1. I've seen people playing with public beta of 11.1 and saying that they've backed out some of the changes that they made to Apple Mail. But this one was about crackling audio. If you had a 6S or other older phone, you were having some issues with audio with iOS 11. So this fixed some of the issues that older phones were having with that. The Apple Watch update that came out did not come out to us non-LTE people. So they had an issue with the Apple Watch where it was actually picking up weird random Wi-Fi parts and the like from your phone. It was also
the LTE issue. The Apple Watch was huge. If that's one they fixed it now, the one where it like pretty much wasn't connected.
That's fixed in a watch OS update, but you don't see it if you don't have those models of watches, because I keep looking to see if I'm going to get a watch update. So one of those situations where, you know, it doesn't hit you if you don't have it available, kind of thing. It's like almost like hardware specific. You know what I've noticed though, in 11, it's almost like they're kind of pulling out the need for you to look up like version numbers, because I still have my iPad Air running iOS 10, and I can, you know, go to App Store, hear the version number. But when you go to iOS 11's updates in App Store, it doesn't really tell you version numbers. You have to actually double click go in there.
Yeah, I don't like the new app. The App Store update screen in iOS 11 too, and the buttons used to say "Update, Be My Eyes," and now they just say "Update." Right. Every single one says "Updates." As you're trying to move through it quickly, it's a little very small thing, but you know, those things can kind of
look for apps sometimes. Either anymore, because if you bring up App Store, it automatically takes you back to updates. And that's really where I wanted to go anyway. So I don't go over to explore. I don't look around the App Store anymore and get myself into trouble. I go in there for what I'm looking for, and then I'm just done. So discoverability, this was supposed to help app developers. I don't think so. I'm not looking around for anything extra, although people are telling me a lot that there's this new Texi app for iOS. I saw it first from our friend on Twitter, and it is an app that supposedly will be able to recognize handwritten text. So you might want to check this out. There's a forum topic over at Apple.
Yeah. So the one I saw, though, was Michael Deuce's review over on iAccessibility, and, well, he definitely did not give it two thumbs up.
Another finger? It's
like, yeah, pretty much.
Well, okay. There you go then.
But you know, get version one. So, but yeah, if it's free, so you can try it out. But I mean, of course, you have Seeing AI and others. You know, certainly worth.
We're getting there though, because isn't that the last bastion to us? Is doctor handwriting kind of thing to have machine learning figure out how something is written in script.
I believe so. And I'm sorry, I do need to correct myself. It's really cheap. It's not free. It's a credit system. So you get 100 scans for 99 cents. Well, although still, you might get some extras.
Depends how bad you are with the camera and how good the camera is at telling you things.
We'll link to this review because obviously it's one person's opinion, and then maybe other people have others, but you know, of course, if you tried this, then let us know and let us know. TexiTexi.
Something that people have been using a lot of is the new Twitterific for Mac. A lot of people jumped in on the Kickstarter.
Now that's getting much better reviews.
Yeah, much, much. And several people have told us on Twitter that we should talk about this. So if you're a big Mac fan, you've been looking for a good, stable Twitter client that seems to have a dedicated team behind it. I was reading nothing but happy people with Twitterific for Mac. Great if you already have Twitterific for iOS. another Kickstarter success, if you can go that yep. way. We haven't had one of those talks in a while, but
there you go.
This is a little bit more mainstream than most of the ones that we've talked about in the past, but had a lot of people involving themselves in doing accessibility testing.
It's always cool when you have the same shortcut keys on the iOS version and the Mac version. And I mean, Twitterific is probably the most talked about Twitter client for blind people on iOS. So obviously, if you're using one and you use a Mac, that makes sense. And the Mac, because some of the others haven't been updated in a while, has been kind of a void of an accessible Twitter client natively for a little bit. So it's definitely needed for the Mac users. And always, of course, you know, if you didn't do the Kickstarter, you can go and purchase it now and you can pick up
get it normally through the updated app store in High Sierra, which took me a little while to get sort of acclimated to. That was really weird. I had one of those moments of my iTunes keychain, whatever I thingy was not working correctly and had to change my iTunes password. Cause when I added on all these Apple devices to my Apple ID, things kind of got kerfuffled. So now I'm having to try and remember two or three different passwords. And at the same time, I was doing some Windows updates for Skype, and I broke that too. So I have four passwords going at this point. One for Windows, one for Apple, one for Apple ID, and now one for the Microsoft Store. I've got to reconcile this, Jay. This is too many numbers and letters all at once. I can't.
Whoa.
Don't think I can deal.
Sorry, I can't help you here. I'm going to get you a price here. Looks like $20 for Twitterific for Mac. So, you know, if you use it. Oh, I'm sorry, $19.99.
Right. But if you live in it and you look at it, that's what everybody else is paying. So you're paying the same price as everybody else. Plus, you're getting some good dedicated access involved there.
And
so,
fully, you know, amongst the headings right between Design for macOS Timelines Galore, right below that, fully accessible is the next heading. So, I mean, that just shows you the importance. Yeah. And it's not even like the last bolted on thing at the bottom. Oh, by the way.
Mm-mm.
So really cool. Always cool to see that. And then that was part of the crowdfunding, too. Like they said, you know, that's how it's going to be in the new version. Now, you might not even be using a Mac before. Perhaps you're doing everything on your phone. That's what some people are doing. But
yep.
Is that, you know, is the phone replacing the computer? I mean, it certainly is for some people. Well,
Windows sales are down again.
Yeah. Survey of the week. We haven't had a survey of the week.
Thanks, Dean, for posting this in the good old newsletter that comes out just about every week, Top Tech Tidbits. This one comes from last week's issue by time of recording. And talking about a survey here that could net you a $100 iTunes gift card. Ooh. Put you in a drawing for it, at least.
Okay. I mean, that's the second best thing. The best surveys are the ones that just pay you outright. The second best ones are the ones that do drawings, unless they're like from some huge huge company that's like, you know, they're going to get 50,000 surveys. Then I don't care. But they're not going to get 50,000 responses here, but they might get a few. These are PhD. This is a PhD student from the Université de Montréal. Oh my gosh, my accents are terrible.
What do you mean? I do not understand. I'll be more French than French Canadian. Now I've insulted another country. I'm doing good. This is not. I should not do this show when I'm sick. I'm just saying. So it's a quick and simple survey and providing information. If you aren't following people in Canada, such as Mr. Lepofsky or others, they are definitely ramping up as far as accessibility for all disabilities is concerned. It is really interesting to see all the stuff that's been surrounding their version of the ADA. So their Disability Act information has gone way up. There are more advocates going on now. Quebec and Toronto, great places for that information. And then, of course, because this is Joe you're talking about, the Edmonton Expo, which is a great science fiction convention, is expanding. It's really interesting because a lot of television, especially science fiction television, has been shot in Canada, like even before Stargate. But they have access to all these actors who are happy just to come to one of these conventions because it's right down the road and it's extra cash. So definitely check out this, as well as some other information that seems to be going around from the Canada area. Now, one of the other things that we've talked about that's kind of a common theme is Twitter. I have several people on my Twitter stream who are playing the new Madden. Liam is playing the new Madden football game, and Brandon Cole is playing the new Madden football game. And you're probably saying to yourself, hey, Joe, that's not really always accessible. Why? How are blind people playing that? Well, Karen Stevens, which is a part of the Electronic Art accessibility team, reached
which
out
exists,
to the community.
Which is awesome.
There is really one.
It's not just Madden either.
It's going to come to FIFA. It's going to come to other Madden sports titles. She asked a lot of people on Twitter for information. I gave her several emails because I, you know, do that too for Xbox, working with the narrator team over on Microsoft. So I gave her some information, and it's really paying off in droves. There are several blind players giving positive feedback about how to play Madden with vibration, with sound cues. I don't think it's at a point where if you didn't already have one of these video game consoles in your house, you should run out and drop $60 on this game. I think we're still in the learning process, but you can always get a demo and play with it yourself. The ironic part about this was that some of the stuff had to be patched in later. Not even because of the storms, where the team Tiburon was actually in the path of the Florida storms. But there is a link here in the show notes at blindbargains.com that tells you about some of the accessibility that's been added to Madden 2018.
And Liam's been playing some of this. He now has been doing stuff over on Twitch as well as YouTube.
Doing his YouTube archives, which is probably the way to go. A lot of streamers do that. They have their streaming audience with people who tune in at the moment that you're playing the game because they want to be a part of that live aspect. But there are some people who want an on-demand archive, and that's what YouTube gaming is still for.
I was trying to see if it's probably archived. If it is, we can try to link to it because he did some Madden streaming a few days ago.
He did. Super Blind Man did some. I've got a couple. I'll go back through and drop a couple in the show notes in case you're interested to hear how it is. So it's nice to get past rhythm games and fighting games. You know, these are more complex games. In the case of Madden 2018, there's a storyline this year where you play a high school prospect who had a family tragedy and then come to the NFL late, like, you know, you're a walk-on, and you have to work your way through the team. So there's an actual story involved with Madden this year, which is new to the franchise.
That's a lot of fun. Really, really cool to see the stuff with accessible video games, and they're actively over like on the audio games forum and other places taking feedback and how to make stuff better. And, you know, with the realization that you're not going to get everything now or maybe even in a long time, but that
small steps.
It's way better than what you might have had in the past, which for the most part,
2 years ago, we didn't even have a talking Xbox. We barely had a talking PlayStation. So
Lots of stuff there. I mean, it's only bad. You know, the only other accessibility we ever had was all the memorization that people did way back in the day, especially with Nintendo and stuff, where it was a little easier to do that
stuff. Yeah.
Play some Tecmo Bowl. I'll play you that after the show and kick your butt.
Love that theme. That theme is awesome.
Well, before I kick Joe's butt in Tech Mobile, oh my gosh, that's a long time ago.
See, my sickness has infected the airwaves, and now Jay is starting to feel it. I'm sorry. I'm a danger to everyone. I should know better. I'm sorry. Sorry,
I am everybody. Closer to North Carolina than I was before, so that's there is true. That.
There are three of us who are sick, so we can radiate outward better, faster, stronger. What can I say?
Okay, there's a techmobile.org forum and everything, so we can... I'm going to go browse that. Actually, while I'm doing that, I'm going to go play with that. You should stay tuned, though, because Joe is going to talk movies of the summer coming up in just a minute or three. And then after that, we have some sound off. Last word dealing with stuff, food, and what? Oh, Netflix. Netflix and food. Not Netflix and chill. Netflix and food.
I was. You said it. I didn't. All right. Good.
Yeah. Netflix and food. All coming up in much more on episode 119 of the Blind Bargains Cast.
It has been a few months since we've had Jay on the program talking about the movies that we all go and see, and some of these are going to be available for rent in iTunes. I'll make some mention of which ones have audio description and are available now. But before we get into all of that, Jay, how was your summer, man? How you been?
Yeah, I can't complain. I had fun at the movies. We have all the superhero movies out there, and we'll be talking about some of those in a little bit. But So the summer's been pretty good. Of course, we had to, about a month ago, dodge the hurricane, but everything else has been been pretty good.
Absolutely. You know what didn't do well at the box office was the box office. It was its own kind of natural disaster. It was lower this year than most. And yep, the ones in spandex seem to be the ones that did the best. We'll go over your top five hits and misses. Remember, you can actually read these over at the Blindside Reviews, and we'll have a link at that at the show notes at blindbargains.com, as we often do. Now, you want to do the hits or the misses first, Jay?
Let's do hits. The misses are always fun to really slam those movies. Blindness is a blessing. Blindness is a blessing. This movie is so bad, if I could have found the door to the theater, I would have left. I like those one-liners like that.
Absolutely. Well, she just hosted Saturday Night Live, and I thought she did a pretty good job. Gal Gadot actually brought it in on the box office. Wonder Woman was not necessarily the number one movie of the year. That actually lands with the Beauty and the Beast live action remake. I can't believe that. I didn't think that was going to be that good, but a lot of people went and saw that, and it made just a little bit more than our number two film of the year so far. With $412 million, it is Wonder Woman. You know, we talked about how this was going to play out just by the trailers. We talked about the score and what we had thought about this film. Did this film live up to the expectations and hype that we laid on it at the beginning of the year?
Yeah, and you remember you and I talked about this at the beginning of the year, and it did. This is what, in my opinion, superhero films, how they should be made. This is the template for it, for that type of a superhero film. The action, it had good drama, it was not corny, it had absolutely everything. We went way back in time, it began in World War One, and which is absolutely fantastic. Then jump forward here, so it kind of shows the how Wonder Woman came to be. The Gal Gadot was just absolutely fantastic. There was nothing about this film I can think of offhand. Now it's been several months. It's actually probably now out on video.
It actually
got the BFCA seal of approval. And you don't see that too often in superhero films. This is well worth seeing.
What did you feel about Patty Jenkins and her direction? I mean, it was a lot of people were very surprised at how she took on the source material. And I think a lot of people were afraid, you know, because Kenneth Branagh had done Thor, and some people have found that to be too Shakespearean and dry. But Patty, who's already signed on for the sequel, seemed to take that on well.
She did it, for somebody that you don't know a lot about. We're not talking about, Ridley Scott or, somebody like, we're not talking about a big name. And I thought they might bring in a big name for Ron Howard's, whatever. They didn't. She did it. I thought she did a fantastic job. And as we're talking about this, you're right, there's going to be, and we'll talk about this a little bit later, Justice League is coming up. Wonder Woman will be in that. I'm really looking forward to where they're going to take Wonder Woman to. And here's something quite interesting as a little side note here. There's a movie coming out going back in time when Wonder Woman was actually invented, the inventor of Wonder Woman, and they're making a movie about that. So that's how big this movie is doing. Yeah, but they're
rewriting the DC slate to try and find a reason for her to be in just about every one of their new films. And so you're right. It's going to go rewrite the DC pantheon.
Well, that's what they're doing with Tony Stark, Robert Downey Jr. in Iron
True.
Man. He's in everything,
True.
And we'll be talking True. About that in a minute, too.
Yeah, well, before we jump into that, let's get another one of the ones that you had on your list. And I had said and really felt reservations for Dunkirk. And, this is Christopher Nolan with the Dark Knight franchise and other films that people know him for. This film did extremely well for what it was. It was $187 million. The film was released on 70 millimeter and also in IMAX and 70 mil. There were a lot of people who really found this film to be moving. And the interesting things were, there was a survivor of Dunkirk who was with the British fleet and had seen it. He was in his late 80s, early 90s in Canada, and they had interviewed him on the CBC, and he was moved, just beyond moved, and it brought a lot of the you know, horrific parts of war back to him almost instantly. He said that Christopher had done a really good job in capturing that, kind of similar to the way that some people had felt about Saving Private Ryan. How was the film, and do you think that it translated well?
Yes, it did. Now, and I'm going to tell you, my only, I guess I'm going to say negative about it is I thought it was going to tell a little more about the movie. I was told I'd learn a little more about Dunkirk. Well, I really didn't. Everything that they brought up, I pretty much had read about, knew about. But they went into detail about certain things. And I think maybe that's it. They went into more detail instead of looked at the broad scope. And that's, I think, what was so emotional. You know, how the ships came to save the soldiers and, you know, the boats from England. So it was absolutely, it was emotional. It was great. Another one, a BSCA seal of approval. And once again, sure, we only get one or two of those a month. So that's a great thing in itself. Acting was fantastic all the way around. I can't find really anything. Like I said, my negative was for myself. I would like to see more of a broad scope, but hey, the detail, everything else was just absolutely fantastic.
And this is going to be one of those that's going to be up for the Sound Awards, either editing or mixing, something or another, because usually films that have that as their subject matter tend to do well when you get to the end of the year with the Oscars. Yeah, definitely. Now, I did not see this one yet. I still kind of want to. I was kind of being Polly Prissy Pants about this. I wanted to see it, but I wanted to see it in the right theater, and I just didn't want to go all the way across town to go to the right theater to see it. But it was even playing in places. Yeah, it was playing in places like museums and the like. So museums that had IMAX theaters in them. It was one of those times, right, where they were showing a theatrical film in IMAX, which is awesome because there's this weird thing where IMAX has kind of made their films easier to get to, so you don't have to have like a 7-story screen anymore. You can have this IMAX Select, which is kind of strange, where they use laser projector and the like. And I didn't want that, but probably going to be the way I go see the next Star Wars. Now, we talked about comic book movies. Another one for Marvel. This is trending a theme here. Guardians of the Galaxy 2. $333 million. This is par for the course. This was not a film that we didn't think was not going to do well. It looked great. It already had a great track record. Was this kind of disappointing, or was this more sequelitis, or was this really a good film?
It was actually, here's the thing. When I, you know, after I left the theater at the beginning, you know, I was not disappointed, but I go, oh, you know, I would like to see something new, something different, something whatever. It's basically the same as the first, but that's okay. And I had to look back and I go, you know what? If this was the first movie, I would say this is great. And so it was really, it was funny. It had action. It had a good story. It had absolutely everything. The problem is when you see a second one, you think, okay, what can we find something new, unique in this film? And yeah, it wasn't necessarily, but that doesn't mean it was a bad film. It was absolutely great. You're going to walk away if you see it and say, if you don't try to read a lot into it, walk away, have fun. Really, it's all about fun and entertainment. You don't always have to bring some type of tell a story. You don't always have to be bringing something emotional into it. If that's what does it for you, great. But yeah, it can just be pure entertainment, and that's what this is.
Comfort food. Movie comfort food is what that is, right? Exactly, you know, right. And sometimes the good thing about comedy is that you know the joke before it's coming, and it telegraphs it, and you're fine with that because you're in on the joke rather than being wowed by the joke that may or may not hit. So that's definitely one of those moments where and I made a mistake, $389 million. I'm sorry. I actually had taken away like almost $60 million worth of gross. It came in, of course, less than the sequel, but that's also to be expected. And of course, there's going to be a Guardians 3, which was not a surprise. That's probably going to be somewhere down the road in 2021 or 2022 as Marvel enters Phase 4. And Disney purchased Marvel, as well as the Star Wars franchise, because they wanted to have generational stories. Disney believes in that, as you know, going all the way back to Snow White and the like. Marvel, before it was bought up by Disney, needed to do a lot of crazy deals in order to keep itself afloat. And one of those crazy deals was to let some of their franchises get made by other movie studios, X-Men and the Fox franchises. But Sony reached out to Marvel because they had kind of messed up Spider-Man. And I say that honestly, Spider-Man 1 and 2, the Amazing Spider-Man. Let me be clear, not the Sam Raimi Spider-Mans. Right. But those films were not that good. So Marvel stepping back in to help Sony get Spider-Man back on track seemed to have worked at the box office. Was it really Tom Holland, or was it really Robert Downey that put butts in the seats, Jay? What was it about Spider-Man Homecoming and it pulling in, you know, over $300 million?
Yeah, the way they redid it, Tom Holland, I think when he did it, 19 years old, but he played a 15-year-old. And it was so great. They went back, you know, until he was 15, he's like a freshman or whatever. So he did all the corny stuff that a high school kid would do. Just think, Joe, if you were in high school and you were a superhero, man, wouldn't that be the greatest thing? You had to impress the girls and stuff like that. Well, and they brought that into it, which made it funny. It made it, you know, but he's still trying to be secretive, you know. He's still, you know, nobody can know he's Spider-Man, but his best friend knew it. It has its funny parts. It just was a whole, I agree with you. The last two, Garfield and I can't remember who the other Toby,
Seabiscuit.
I enjoyed both of them, but I honestly go, why did they keep making Spider-Man? There are hundreds of superheroes out there, and I'm so glad that they redid this, and it's funny. It has, the action's not, doesn't stick out, which I can't see it anyway, but, and then of course, like I mentioned, they keep throwing Robert Downey Jr. as Iron Man into this, and he actually was, he was like the mentor, made it, it was really good. I could have put anybody in there, but Robert Downey Jr. does not mind doing Iron Man, so as they'll keep using him as long as he'll do it, and he thoroughly enjoys it. He's probably the biggest box office draw. I don't know how many times he's done Iron Man, 8-9 times.
And, just in a decade, no less. Great. Not all that long ago, but you know, it's weird to think by the end of Phase 3, Marvel will have done something like 22 movies in just a little more than a decade. Which is just astounding, just astounding. And that's not even getting to the money and the merchandising and all that mess. I mean, we're just talking about building a cinematic universe. And he was a big cornerstone of that. And it was just as much a gamble for him to do it as it was for them to bring him on board. But he definitely is a very generous actor and is a big proponent of making sure people get screen time and the like. So I think that's really interesting. And of course, Michael Keaton can't really do too wrong bringing him on as the Vulture. So not many people knew who the Vulture was. So you weren't, you know, you're bringing back a lot of the tropes with Spidey, but not everybody knows the pantheon of his rogues gallery. So that kind of works out.
I was going to say, and Michael Keaton was absolutely fantastic. And remember, he did the Vulture, and just the year before, he did Birdman.
You know, Birdman.
Academy Award.
Sure. And again, one of the better Batmen, if you grew up in 1989, what can I say? Now I didn't.
That. Yeah, I liked it at the time, but now you look back
Age well. Yeah, true. The film that I wasn't really familiar with was Baby Driver, and that kind of took the box office by storm as well. This is about to come out on video now. Some of the ones that we have talked about so far, like Wonder Woman, you know, doesn't necessarily have audio description. Spider-Man does not. Dunkirk does. Baby Driver is one, though, that does, I believe. And that'll be, of course, through iTunes and the like. $107 million. Starring Mr. House of Cards himself, Kevin Spacey, was that, you think, part of the draw to this film? Or you think word of mouth is what made this film really good?
Yeah, word of mouth. Yeah, I'll be honest with you. I didn't, and usually I know what's coming up. I heard about it, didn't stick out, not a big deal. And I'm even wondering if I even went to my screening. I think I saw this after the fact, if I remember correctly. It's been a while. And I was, it's about this guy that I know you and I didn't talk about this. Young man, he's actually hearing impaired, and he drives a getaway car. And in the meantime, while he's doing it, he's listening to the music really loud because he's hearing impaired. And he drives, and the music kind of blends in the way he drives. And so that's neat in itself. It has some funny one-liners. The story is just absolutely great. And just the way it was put together makes it so good. And I go, wow, it's well worth seeing. And just you mentioned it, word of mouth is what drove this film, no pun intended there.
Sure. Sometimes it's star power. Sometimes it's like other films, like another one that Kevin Spacey was in, The Usual Suspects. That was another that word of mouth drove that film to become an Oscar contender and just had the right buzz and put the words Kaiser Sose into a lot of people's mouths back then. So he's very good at finding the right roles and then stepping back. Another great, generous actor that lets cast step up and he plays with that, you know, whether it be Seven or other films that he's in. That's one of those things where he's become, you know, familiar with House of Cards that people forget about his body of work.
Right. And Kevin Spacey was not, not necessarily, he wasn't a star. This isn't what, why people went to see it, or me either, but he definitely, you know, helped, you know, where was that. So, and obviously you're right. When I saw it, that's the only name I really recognized.
So I thought,
it can't be that bad if Kevin Spacey's in it, you know, and that's why I took a chance on it there.
It's like a shopping mall. You know, I know we're good because it has a Dillard's. So, if there's nothing else there, you can at least get some clothes at Dillard's or something. Right. And that's kind of the great thing about some actors is that they can just bring people in. It's whether they stay there and enjoy the film or not.
This has been part one of the Blind Film Critics review of Summer 2017. Stay tuned next time when you'll hear him say,
"Everything went wrong and nothing went right. This has to be the worst movie of the year."
You're listening to the Blind Bargains Cast. Blind Bargains Cast.
Awesome stuff from Joe and talking movies. We really love to do that here on the Blind Bargains Cast. And it's my week for a tip. So here's a tip. I'm going to con Joe into doing it.
Ha! Oh, wow. That's perfect. I love this plan. This is a good plan. I love when a plan comes together. Hey, I've got one that's movie related. So that actually worked out perfectly. Recently, the Disney Movies Anywhere app has converted itself to Movies Anywhere. Now, why does that concern us? Well, it concerns us because they convinced Warner Brothers, Fox, and other movie studios to join them. Now,
I wondered how that
really
was
cool
happen.
About this.
One app, that's good.
One app to rule them all. Yeah, and well, there are one or two film studios who said, it's not for us.
Not yet.
So it doesn't have everybody, but there's a good number of films that are there. Now, you and I both have multiple devices from multiple companies here at the house or at office. So sometimes for testing, you may have, like I have like, I don't know, 20 movies in Google Play. I think I have one or two things inside iTunes. I have one or two things in Amazon to just play to make sure I have. But it would be really cool if you could actually have an app that would allow you to get to all of that stuff or possibly import as much as you can into one place and play it in one place. So say I bought, Wonder Woman. That's not a good example. Say I bought The Force Awakens on DVD or Blu-ray and it had a code. You could do a code for a digital copy. And when you do the digital copy, it put it into Movies Anywhere. Now, what I could do is play it with audio description from iTunes on Apple TV or an Apple device. See where I'm going with this? You could actually, if you got a DVD for Christmas, or if someone gave you a movie that now has audio description on it, you could actually upload it theoretically through the system to Movies Anywhere and access it in your TV app or in your movies area on iTunes. There is an Apple TV app for this. There is an iOS app for this. Unfortunately, the Android version, you can access a lot of it, but the most important part, your library, you can't. So you have to actually type in the specific movie. And then if you have it in your library and you know you have it in your library, you can
access
it.
For anybody or accessibility wise, that's the problem.
Well, TalkBack seemed to just not see it. Now I'm using, it's working in a later version because I'm still playing around with Marshmallow here. But possibly it in the versions that I'm playing with here.
I haven't grabbed the TalkBack at that point.
Sure. So that isn't grabbing the pictures. It's like, it doesn't even see the titles. I can put my finger on it visually and it's not seeing that there is content there to interact with. But that is going to be fixed because the Movies Anywhere team is pretty good. The Disney team has been pretty good in the past. So this is a 1.0. But what's really cool about this is that my Force Awakens pulled over from where I had it in the digital locker over to iTunes. And I could actually play that with audio description. Now, it doesn't say that. That's the downside, is some of these things will say, you know, accessibility, closed captioned. But when I played it through iTunes on iOS, or I played it on my iPad, or I played it on Apple TV, the audio description track came up for Force Awakens.
What happened to the original functionality? So when Patrick played with this, you know, you'd play a movie and then it would kind of drop the
track. there's still that, where you could be in a theater and have that audio recognized by your device and play the audio specifically on your device.
In the theater. Right.
Or you could do it at home, because it had the Movies Anywhere app, which still exists. So you could still do that for some titles. But what I'd like about this is that, let's say if you hook this up to Vudu, that's V-U-D-U. If we hook this up to Vudu, and if you have...
That's a service, not Vudu Magic. Really.
Correct. It's owned by Walmart. In Vudu, at the bottom of the options, and I was doing this here at home, I can scan a DVD that I own, right? And maybe it came with audio description later. Maybe it was added. Maybe it was something that initially didn't come out that way. Or it was remastered. When it was remastered, it had audio description. So I scan the back of my DVD barcode with my iPhone. And lo and behold, I got an option to pay with PayPal to upgrade to for $2 to a standard digital copy, or $5 for a high definition copy. And it would propagate in iTunes. And then when it propagates in iTunes, it'll propagate in Movies Anywhere. So I can play it on, you know, a Google device or whatever device I want to be able to play it on. It's not locked into iTunes at that point. So there's lots of possibilities here for us to possibly have more audio description for a movie that we already bought, because you can pay for this digital license. All it needs to do is see the UPC on the back of the DVD box. And it'll upload it. It won't work on my Laserdiscs. I was really sad. I scanned a couple Laserdiscs in the house, and it said that this disc is not available. I thought that was really, really, really not surprising.
Where's the Laserdisc player?
Well, there's still those. A lot of movies are being remastered anyway for 4K, so those discs have lost their value in a lot of ways, and a lot of times they're coming now with audio description. So this is something you might want to take a look into. Movies Anywhere, you can download it. You have to connect it to the accounts. When you go to do that, it doesn't always tell you which account you're going to connect to, but it's under Manage Retailers. It'll say Connect. If you click on Connect, then it'll bring up a box that tells you what service you're trying to connect to. I hate that part about it, but it is a workaround. You can do it. You can sign in with your Google Play account and then have that, you know, work with Movies Anywhere into iTunes and back and forth. So there are some restrictions. Not every movie will port over. If you hook up more than two services to it, you'll get 5 movies during this promotion. So you'll get Jason Bourne, you'll get Ghostbusters, the extended cut from last year, which is audio described. So there's some stuff in there that you're going to get for 5 free movies right off the bat if you have two of these services.
See, you got to lead with the free movies.
I buried the lead. Buried the lead. So you could hook up your iTunes account and your Google Play account tonight and have Big Hero 6, Jason Bourne, Ghostbusters. You can have some entertainment right there in your undisclosed bunker to be able to do some stuff tonight.
You can also entertain yourself by listening to Blind Bargains Cast 56 from March of 2016, where Patrick does the original review of the then Disney Anywhere app.
And it's come a long way. You can think of
some movies and then see where it is and where it came from and where it's going.
But I really like this because you've gotten probably discs, you know, as a Christmas or birthday present or what have you. And the idea to being able to pull some of that into digital content for just like $5 or $2 if you don't care about high definition, and then, you know, connect that to iTunes, which may or may not have some audio description. This is awesome. Now I can just sell the DVD or give it to a friend, regift it. You know, you could declutter your life.
It's your turn to sound off. Email feedback at blindbargains.com or tweet us at blindbargains.
That brings us to email.
The first email that we have here comes from Phil. Phil sends us a conversation about his wife and him having information about Windows Mobile, and he was asking if Windows Mobile was going away or was third parties going to take it over. Microsoft itself said to The Verge.
That's Windows Phone. Windows Mobile went away like in 2010.
So Windows both Phone. Are dead now.
Right, now both are dead. Now Windows Phone dead. With the way of Windows Mobile, and yeah. They are both gone.
So the reason why I did what you just said I did was because I got confused in my head about the numbering scheme, because Windows Mobile left off at 5, what was it, 6, then Windows Phone 7, Windows Phone 8.
And he does say that in the emails, Windows Mobile going away completely, yes.
It's gone. Microsoft confirmed to The Verge and other places that development has stopped on Windows Phone.
Well, their market share was like lower than BlackBerry and right around by as much as Nokia.
Less than 1%. gotten into 0.00s kind of thing.
They were rivaling the number of Symbian users at one point. Like, it was crazy.
Yeah.
So what do you do? Okay, the dynamic's a little bit different for a low vision user. I mean, and also if you're a little price conscious, if you're looking for stuff, you know, they say they can't afford a premium phone. So yeah, there's two options that come to my mind, and then we'll see what you say. Yes, as some people pointed out, you can get cheaper iPhones. Unfortunately, the cheaper iPhone, generally the SE, is much also the smaller screen iPhone. So if you want the larger screen because you're low vision, those are still at least $500, if not more. So
yeah, 6 line and above. So,
you know, the thing about Android is, you know, you have lots of different choices. You don't have to get something expensive like a Note 8. You can definitely get the Motorola, the Moto series, the Gs. Now it's the G4 and the G5. I have to look up some screen sizes, but they're generally
older. The pixels are coming down in price.
The older pixels, even like a Nexus 6. Remember that thing? Yep. You know, that could still work. It doesn't have to be running Android Oreo. I would, you know, ideally want it to be running Android Nougat, which is 7.
Agreed.
You know, remember your TalkBack and your magnification. They back support for use. Right now, TalkBack is supporting back to Android 5. And I believe magnification stuff is even, you know, further back than that. So you have a 3 or 4 year lifespan when it comes to accessibility services. I don't really know of anybody that's dropped support for Android 5 apps yet. It probably won't even be for another year. So if you can get 7, you future-proof yourself for 2 or 3 years at least.
Agreed. And maybe you just want to kick that can down the road until you're ready to make a different choice or see what happens with iPhone X, or are they going to keep the current iPhone design? You know, part of the reason when you asked me that question a couple
weeks ago. But they said price conscious, Joe. So how iPhone X can't even be in this conversation unless you're buying it for them. Yeah.
Here's my thing. When the iPhone X comes out, you're going to see discounts no matter how many iPhone X's come out. I think the first batch is supposed to be like 46,000 or something crazy like that. But what generally happens is that some iPhones become more pricier, like the 6 line, because of the headphone jack. 7s will get pushed out of the market because they're not as fast and not as cool as the iPhone 8. Watch Black Friday, of course.
An iPhone 7, though, you're still in the $500 range. That's I guess you have to define price. You know, if you're price conscious, if you're saying that price is a major factor, $500 is way out of your league. Now,
okay, if we come down to the iPhone SE, right? The danger of choosing that is that, depending how you feel about Apple product, older iPhones tend to run newer OSs worse and worse and worse for whatever reasons. Insert conspiracy here. But the iPhone SE and the iPhone 5S are going to be really uncomfortable for 11.0, for iOS 11. So that's that. If you choose
to go lower in Apple land, that's why I don't think if she's already comfortable, or if she was comfortable with Windows Phone, I think,
getting the Microsoft launcher that just came out for Android, she'd have a lot of the Microsoft services that could port over.
Yeah.
You could use any number of larger screen phones like you were talking about. Heck, we were talking about this on Twitter at the Blind Bargains account, and people were telling us there's a new Haven I didn't even know there was a New Haven.
No, there's not a New Haven. There's a convoy. I thought. Okay. I think what we were talking about is whatever is a modern Haven. But
right.
That was I think a different person. They were actually just looking for like a simple push button phone. I'm like, right. Well, then why would you get an Android at that point? If you want simple push button, then you want like the Samsung Convoy. Or I haven't seen if there's a replacement for what was the Odin, but unfortunately.
Yeah, but Nokia had some, and those are running Android. Even the new BlackBerry that was announced, the Motion, is going to run Android. So it's a two-horse race now. You're going to choose Android or iOS. So that's going to do it for Sound Off Minus. Thank you to Trent and Matthews, who turned me on because of the Thin Mint TV discussion, to Reese's Peanut Butter International Delights Coffee Creamer. Oh,
sorry, I'm looking through these phones.
So good.
Food. I'm looking at Boost phones.
Okay, you do that. I will talk about that.
I'll be back in another hour or two. We
got the suggestion from Twitter, and so that's always awesome. Got some crazy food suggestions, and use that on shopping apps. And we will talk about shopping apps on a later show. But there is a lot of stuff that you can find there. And of course, there's a lot of stuff that you can find on Netflix to continue the movie conversation. Binge racing is a term, apparently, or it's at least a term that Netflix wants us to use. So people will try and watch an entire series in one sitting. There used to be like Star Trek Discovery, where you got to wait a week for a new episode. No, Netflix, of course, will release an entire season of their own self-made shows in one sitting. There are people who feel dedicated enough to sit down and watch
8.4 million.
Yes, of their more than 130 million subscribers.
I could see myself doing that, though. I mean, if it's a good show, I mean, I'm going to probably at least watch half of a season. I mean, and seasons in the term of Netflix are generally shorter than
10,
you know, you're
6, 10, maybe 13,
right? Are they more like cable shows where you have 10 or 12, yeah, and as opposed to a traditional network broadcast show, which is usually 22 episodes or somewhere around there? So the term season, we've gone a lot more like British now, where it's series there, but you know, they're shorter in a lot of cases. So, but still, 10 hours of TV or 12 hours of TV, you know, I guess why not, right? You know, have you done this? Joe, or?
I watched the initial Daredevils practically in one day, but I don't think I've really. I think I took like a weekend on House of Cards. I don't know. I just can't see watching. I can get excited about a show and get involved in a show, and I can do it in a weekend. But watching 10 hours in one day is a bit much, even for a geeky person like myself. What I think is really cool, though, is that a lot of these on the list are Netflix shows. So Orange is the New Black, or Glow, or House of Cards, or even things like Arrested Development. That means they have audio description. So a lot of these that are listed here have AD tracks to them, which means like I watch out of this list, I watch BoJack, I watch Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. I haven't watched this year's House of Cards. Feels too surreal at this point. There's a couple of these shows here that I really like, but even the shows I don't like, I'm not surprised. Like Fuller House. I had no idea that a sequel to Full House would go four seasons, but let alone be one of the seasons that people had to binge watch, which I think is just hysterical.
Well, if you're a binge, I can't call it binge racing. It's binge watching. Come on,
either.
Netflix. No, there already was a term for this called binge watching.
Yeah, I don't know. Netflix speak. You know, their stock actually went to an all-time high. They announced that they're going to drop $8 billion into original programming now that their Disney deal has ended.
No.
So there's going to be a lot more of Netflix to watch in the future from Netflix.
Well, you might want some Netflix and food. And if you're binge watching, you're going to want a lot of food, right?
Okay.
Liam,
binge
our
and a binge.
Gadget guy. Right. Have you been seeing these? So Liam at Liam Mervin, our gadget guy, has been tweeting every Sunday night. I look forward to this now. Specials from a place near his house called the Epic Deli. Have you been reading these at all?
Yes, I have. There's some scary ones.
These are like the craziest monstrosities. Their whole menu is crazy itself. But then they're going even further with the special. So, like, you read one of these items. So, for instance, the Gordon Bombay this week, 2 quarter-pound Angus beef patties, American cheese, jalapenos, pulled pork. Okay, yeah, sounding good, right? Very nice loaded up burger. So, like, when you think it's done, no, this keeps going. Pulled pork, house made hockey mom barbecue sauce, which we made only with a Kolsch style beer. Then we take a toasted pretzel bun, spread with Merck's cheddar cheese on both sides, and then crust the insides with tortilla chips. So it's like when you think it's done, it just keeps going. That was one item. That's one menu item.
And before you ask yourself, yes, Liam has wondered about his health lately. That is true.
Here's one called the Stanley because the hockey season just started. Of course, pulled pork, bacon, barbecue rib patties. Okay. Cheddar cheese, sure. Spicy cheese curds, ghost pepper ranch, and barbecue potato chips served on a sub roll. And they have dessert. And
like in The Simpsons, the map to the emergency room is on the back of the placemat. It's right there. I'm just saying. That's how that works.
You know, some things are more simple. The Nutella Butterfinger shake.
Interesting. Yeah. That seems light and delicate by comparison.
Right. Oh, is that one named after you? The Joe Mentolino?
Oh, no. No.
Oh, that one's too simple. It only has chicken, ghost pepper buffalo sauce, ghost pepper ranch, cream cheese, habanero pickles, and ghost pepper sauce. Wait, didn't I say ghost pepper sauce like 3 times?
Yes, you did.
Slaw, ghost pepper sauce, ghost pepper ranch.
Jeez. At what point do you notice the taste of the food? Oh, wait, no, you might not. And so <All right. laughs> there's a reason why this is on the outskirts of Chicago. It says a lot about us as a society.
One more.
The guy who did Man versus Food had to retire because he was being killed by the food challenges he was eating. This sounds like half of his show.
Oh, my gosh. I don't even know if he would text this one. We'll give you one more. This is the Burrito Witch.
It's like the Whopperito has come back to life.
Well, so it starts out normal, right? Shredded pork, refried beans, avocado. Okay, fine. Chipotle, sour cream, pico de gallo, pepper jack cheese, taco flavored Doritos, and lettuce
crunch.
Served on a toasted sub roll. That actually is probably the most normal thing on the menu this week.
Yeah. But still has some things if you want to branch outwards, and by that I mean add another notch on your belt, but you do have the ability to have some crunch there, which I think is fantastic. Follow Liam on Twitter to be able to see these as he posts them. It's gotten kind of a
every following. Sunday evening he's been posting them, and I look forward, have never been there yet, but you can tweet him and tell him we asked him, you know, if he's still alive, and hopefully he's having an epic good time.
I think it was within walking distance. Now I think it's within a very short Uber ride. I think maybe I'm not
yeah no sure. He can't walk to it, but it's probably for his safety that it's not within
probably
short walking distance.
It's better to get dropped off at some places, I've learned, with Uber, especially, you know, you're in trouble when the Uber guy's like, I'll wait until you walk inside. Oh, okay. Thanks. I appreciate your confidence. So there's definitely that. You can find out so much more about what we have in store by following us on Twitter. Myself personally, I'm twitter.com/rangerstation. All one word. You can find some of the show notes before they become show notes through the Twitter feed.
You can check me out over. I've run the Blind Bargains Twitter feed, where we have lots of interesting conversations and discussions. People talking about random phones. And who was it that tagged at Blind Bargains at AT Guys? And I get mentioned twice. And my Twitter clients is going crazy.
At the same they want to make sure you saw it. They want to make sure.
I have them both sitting right next to each other in chicken nugget buffers. So it's one or the other. I will definitely see them. But we do appreciate it. Of course, you can email feedback@blindbargains.com, or you can post show notes and let us know. Like I said, we're going to at some point soon talk about grocery delivery services, specifically things like Instacart or Shipt or Postmates or Prime Now. There's so many of them. Right. So curious if you've used them. If you have, what have you thought? Have you had any positives, negatives? We're interested in your experience.
Is your local chains better than the national ones, right? So do you have a local chain that has an app that's a little better than the one you might use?
Right. You know, or is your local chain participating in one of these in one of these services? Like we have Meijer with Shipt over in Michigan. So definitely send us feedback and let us know how or if you are using these services and what you think of them, and if it's something you'll keep on doing, and we may use that comment in a future cast.
Hey, Jay, I got an email. My Google Home Mini is on the way. So I'll be able to talk about the Google Home Mini soon and then place it in the child's bedroom to use that broadcast feature as we have discussed on previous shows. That is the plan to be able to broadcast.
I'm going to show them how to get back at you.
There's that. Who knows? Maybe we'll get Liam to talk about Madden at some point, too, because it's going to be really interesting. It's a great first stepping stone. Again, it's one of those things where the Xbox S is $299, even $199, going to be maybe even in a packet of breakfast cereal by Good Friday / Big Black Friday. So you've got cheaper options.
Black Fridays. It's far away from Good Friday.
I got halfway down that and then had a fever dream and then zoned out for a second.
Jeez.
So no offense meant and or taken for those of you who are concerned that I just mixed the holidays there. What I meant by all of that was Xboxes are going to be some damn cheap prices at the end of the year. So you might want to think about that coming up this year as I think about NyQuil, DayQuil, and other quills and sleep. So, hey, everybody. That's it for me.
By the way, before we go, and we'll make mention of this in a week or two, but you're just reminding me and that we need to start putting out the info for the third version of the Blind Bargains Holiday Shopping show, which will come out that week. So if you are a proprietary business.
Yes,
these are the cool thing about these is that we have them in a lot of different price points. So you can actually get on this show pretty cheaply. Not like classified as cheap, not $5, but, you know, let us know. Email us at feedback@blindbargains.com and we can certainly show you the details on how you can get involved in the Blind Bargains Holiday Cast. I'm not sure if are we digging out the same. Are we going to do the same intro again for the third same year? We actually do a new one. We'll have to figure
that out. Cut, copy, paste. There we go. We're good. All right. Yep. Oh, my gosh.
I don't even think Kmart exists anymore.
Well, okay, we'll move it to Sears. Oh, wait. No, we won't. Oh, well. Sorry.
Why did Google go off for that?
My Google went off. I don't know anymore. Wow.
All right,
I truly don't know anymore.
Baseball's on. I'm going to watch baseball.
Egg noodle. Yeah, egg noodle. There you go.
All right. Thank you, Patrick, for dealing with me being in the middle of nowhere.
And thanks, Jay, for coming on board and being our good film critic, telling us about stuff. We'll catch up with the other films that he was not a fan of in 2017. That's going to be really funny. So definitely check that out as well.
That's going to do it, folks. We will see you next time.
Later, everyone.
This has been another Blind Bargains audio podcast. Visit blindbargains.com for the latest deals, news, and exclusive content. This podcast may not be retransmitted, sold, or reproduced without the express written permission of AT Guys.
Copyright 2017.